and another episode of the Agnostic Salvation Hour. This is Marshall.
I'm Cole.
I'm Jennifer.
And this is Howard.
And I wasn't on the last show, I understand. I haven't heard what you guys did, but you guys are telling me it was kind of on the racy side.
We made fun of you a lot.
Oh, did you?
Actually, I do think that happened.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
We couldn't resist.
So anyway, I definitely won't listen to it now. No, I'll probably listen to it. I don't listen to any other ones.
Well, listen to the first 15 minutes.
Okay.
That's where we slammed you mostly.
So, alrighty. Well, Cole, I think you had a couple things you wanted to talk about.
Oh, just some brief announcements of the groups coming up. We got Daryl Ray speaking this coming Saturday. He's going to talk about his book, God Virus, and he also will talk about his recent trip to Ireland, which I think was pretty eventful. He's got some interesting – they're really fighting, and they're really coming from huge distances to get together. And so anyway, I won't say anything more about it because I think he wants to be interviewed on the show the next time. Also, see what else coming up. I met a couple of guys that are from Wheaton University. This is really cool. These guys – are atheists going to
Wheaton?
Yes,
wow.
Yes. I'll be talking to them tonight or tomorrow. We've already discussed this. They're sort of undercover. They think that maybe they'll get kicked out of their last year next year for what they're doing. And I can't really say what they're doing because they may divulge this in a couple of weeks at one of our Saturday groups. It's going to be pretty cool.
Cool.
And they really don't care. I mean, they'd rather not get kicked out, but at this point, they're not really caring much about it either way. They have other plans. These two guys are pretty cool. But met them at Daryl's picnic. Also, I've been asked to speak at the Midwest Humanist Convention that's coming up in Lincoln, Nebraska. Mm-hmm. Last time I went, I talked about R&R, which is Recovering from Religion, with Daryl Ray. And this time, which is what I've been waiting for quite some time, I've been in these groups for 2.5 years and I've never really got to talk about my fun with all this. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm going to get to talk about my point of view from the groups from conception, funny times, the billboard, different various things that's happened. Of course, I'll also mention COR, Heartland Humanists, and other groups Greg Schwartz's groups, and so I'll be very inclusive of all that, but naturally this will be more from a personal point of view myself, and so I'll be talking about our groups more. And I think that'll be a lot of fun. And so there's some other things I'm involved in, my last article in the Kansas City Star came out is mostly about whether religion is good for society or not. I've gotten some interesting comments, and I've got some stuff from the Star today that I need to go through and thank some of the people. One religious one, the rest of them were non-believers like ourselves, but not part of the groups, and just saying, "Hey, yay! Thanks for doing this for the last year."
So why is it your last article?
Because you can only do four, and I did the article with Recovering from Religion that interviewed Marshall and several other people in it. I had that before then, and now I'm trying to figure out another way of getting back in because they only allow you four times in 1 year, and you can't do anything else in the Star while you're doing one thing. So that's why it happened to have their rules. Just like in the opinion section, you can only be in there once a month, even though you have something to say every week. But anyway, so I'm trying to figure out, I met with Vern Barnett, I'm trying to figure out, he has a column each week there. He's written 830 columns. And so I'm trying to figure out something there. I think I have an interview with one of our unique members that he'll interview along partly with me. That'll also put the groups and myself and him back in the paper one more time.
So basically you're a fame whore at this point.
Yeah, I love it, man. The more I can get my name in it, I don't care if I'm right or wrong. It doesn't make any damn difference to me as long as an atheist is in the paper.
Yeah. And so, I agree with you.
So I love it. But so anyway, I'm trying to figure out how to get back in there. I've got some ideas. I don't know if I'll go for it. And also, once you're in there so many times, or a few times, not so many times, but it's really hard unless you're someone like Vern Barnett and started years ago to get into it because the newspaper is slowly fading away. I mean, what it was 3 years ago to compare to what it was. I mean, if I had, I tried to get into this 3 and 4 years ago, and they just wouldn't let an atheist in at that time. But at that time, it would have been easier and probably broader than it is now. And it's just going to get worse as the paper becomes more to the internet.
So. Yeah, well, that's too bad.
Sure.
Anyway, that's pretty much it. I just each week I'll just kind of do an update and tell what's happening, or each month.
And excellent. I think, yeah, oh, yeah, and I was going to mention something about Skepticon. That's I want to keep mentioning that every time.
Right.
It's coming up in November, the weekend before Thanksgiving. They've posted the schedules on the website now, and I think they said they were down to 30 seats. They did a calendar. They're trying to. I almost was a part of it, but I wasn't able to get down there. But they're going to be selling racy calendars to raise money to get a bigger venue so they can maybe open up more seats. But I know that if you haven't registered, you need to get on there and see if you can, because they were running low on seats for the event. So,
and Cole, you're in that calendar, aren't you?
Yes, I'm the centerfold, the one that pulled out.
I think they were toying with the idea of doing two, one that was going to be a male calendar and one that was going to be a female calendar, so that way everybody you
what
know,
about cross dressers? No, I could be
the
in that.
I think
both.
I've seen some of the pictures, and I think there's some of that going on. I believe there is.
Well, you got Howard's interest with that one.
Yeah. You know, also this past week,
Tuck and run.
Ken Miller was in town, too. I don't know if he's going to talk about that, but Ken Miller was in town.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting guy, Catholic that believes in evolution and pushes evolution.
Well, most Catholics do accept evolution.
Yeah, that's
so
true. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. They're pretty well.
You know, they did apologize to Galileo and all that.
No.
Yes, they did.
Yes.
Only took 400 years.
Yeah, they officially said that he was right. We admit it.
Right.
You know. Which is kind of funny.
My favorite part about that is nobody cares, guys. Nobody cares whether you think he's right or not. We all know now.
We've all figured it out.
But believe it or not, there are actually still geocentrists out there.
Oh, there's the flat earthers. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't. Do flat earthers do they really believe that the Earth is flat?
I
or is
think
it just
they
some
do. It's kind of like the expanding Earth, which I think is just as bizarre.
There's a Flat Earth Society website,
yes.
And I'll tell you, you can go to it, and it does not seem like a joke.
No,
I just can't believe it.
At
that
all.
Is so hard to imagine.
Agreed.
So, yeah. But anyway, we talk about religion all the time, so nothing should really be too hard for us to imagine as to what in terms of what people will believe. So anyway, a lot of stuff going on. I thought Skepticon was in September for some reason.
Nope,
November.
It's in November. It's like I want to say it's the weekend of the 19th. It's the weekend before Thanksgiving. I'll get the dates. That way we have it next time.
I've been spending my time obsessing on in addition to working a lot more than I prefer to, I've been obsessing on firearms for some reason. I've become a bit of a gun nut. I'm getting over that.
I have the information for the...
All the sensitive people who don't like firearms, you can just mute right now.
Yes,
because Marshall and I are going to have a brief conversation. What have you been into?
Just a lot of websites and stuff. And I'm actually, believe it or not, I'm probably going to just because I'm actually the most peaceful person you'd ever want to meet. But this guy is going to try to sell me like a AK-47 for like
awesome.
$300.
Peaceful guy.
And
yeah.
I think it'd just be cool to own one.
Peace,
yeah,
love,
no,
and
I've
guns.
Always wanted to own one as well.
I just want to wave it around and curse the capitalist, you know?
Yeah. I actually went shooting guns for my birthday. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I just went to the range and,
oh, I love
and
it.
Shot up a lot of ridiculous weapons that are far too large for my small body.
Hey, we're still having our shoot 'em.
Good.
Good. Because
it's
I'm
still,
like, I've never.
We're just
ever
trying to get through
guns.
The hot weather.
Yeah, okay.
And so I have actually two sites now because Caleb is offering his.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Okay. And
sweet.
The guy that I did my test from for Conceal and Carry
mm-hmm.
Is offering his site too, or
awesome.
His area, which is actually closer. And so he said that any of us that would come target practice at this guy that I know that does the tests said that. Just for fun, we could go and we could shoot, and that would qualify whoever would want to test and actually carry.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, so you
yeah.
would already,
oh,
you
dude,
would,
I could totally.
Already,
I don't have a gun, but I could totally get my license to conceal and carry. And
yes,
be like,
well,
I have my license.
That way, you could do it later if you wanted to. You didn't have to do it right then, but he would carry that for X amount of time, saying this qualifies you.
Do you have to own a firearm to get licensed?
No.
Okay,
no,
I was going to say, I would just get licensed just to be so I could be like, I'm licensed to conceal and carry.
There you go.
Yeah, but for some reason, I just got totally obsessed with firearms. And
it's easy to do.
Well, they're just fun. I mean, they're fun to shoot.
Hey, I had an encounter, actually.
On my birthday, I borrowed my dad's my dad's 44 Magnum.
Oh, wow. That's
shot
a
it.
Huge gun right there.
It's a good time. You get in touch with your inner Dirty Harry.
So, Cole, tell us about this encounter of yours.
Well, this is really strange. I've been carrying been carrying for almost 4 years. My time is up, so I got to get it renewed this year. But nothing all that time, and I don't always have it in my pocket. I mean, I have a quick draw clip on it, so it goes in my pocket. And but in areas that I go to that are questionable, I do carry it, and I do go into those areas 4 or 5 times a month. And so this one
we're in one now.
Yeah.
don't do this to me.
Yeah, locked up. We got the guard dogs out. So anyway, I'm coming out of this store, and I'm going to my truck, and I'm eating a chicken leg, and I'm just casually munching away and putting stuff away in the truck, and this car drives by with these two guys in it. One's kind of got his seat back, and he's slumped way far back and says, hey, the guy driving says, hey, come here. I said, no, you come here. He goes, no, come here. And I go, no, you come here. And he goes, no, I got to show you something. I said, well, show it to me. And he goes, well, come here. And I said, I'm not coming there. Show me what you got. And so he shows me this big, bright, shiny necklace. He says, I want to sell it. I said, I don't have the money. He said, well, how do you know what I'm going to charge for it? I said, well, I don't, but I'm telling you, I don't want to buy it. He goes, $40. It's a $400 necklace. I said, go away. And the other guy, and I'm thinking, okay, wait a minute. And he asked me again to come here. This other guy's slashed by. And I'm thinking, I've told a few other people this, and they were thinking, I think, too, that maybe I was being set up.
I think so. Yeah.
I think I was being set up to go over to the car. And then yes. It was like the gun in me because I was in earlier, and I had $200 on me. And I bought $100 worth of stuff, and I bought a chicken leg and had $200 out. And so I'm pretty sure I saw one of these guys in there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I think they knew I was carrying cash. Mm-hmm. And so I had my 45 in my pocket, so I just reached underneath and just put my hand on the handle and turned to the guy there, and they drove off.
You didn't shoot either one of them?
I thought.
Oh, come on.
But wouldn't it have been really fun? Fleeting in my mind, I'm thinking, at this time, and I wouldn't do it, but it would have been so fun to say, no, you give me the necklace.
Or you could have said, listen, right. Let me get my wallet. Oh, wait a minute, I forgot my wallet.
Damn. But anyway, that's my closest thing to any with Cryte to carry that it did me any good. And it maybe did me some good or maybe not. Who knows?
Nah, the smartest thing you did was not go over to the car.
Yeah, I agree with exactly.
In going on gun websites and things like that and checking out forums, one thing I've learned about your typical gun owner is that he is a very angry white man.
I think that's incredibly sad, too, because I mean, I am white, but I'm not angry about it. I'm not upset about it. I enjoy firearms. I enjoy shooting them. Mm-hmm. I enjoy going to the range.
Isn't that strange?
I think it's also a nice part of my responsibility as an American citizen. I know to some people that sounds really bizarre, but it's part of the freedoms that I enjoy living in this country. Like, freedom of the press is a unique...
Yeah.
Is a unique quality. Freedom of speech is a unique quality mm-hmm. to our rights in this country in the same way that we can bear arms. And I think it's really sad when anybody wants to give up one of those unique rights that we have here that other people don't have at all. Mm-hmm.
No, I agree. I've already applied and gone to the sheriff's department and fingerprinted and everything. So I should be getting my certificate to get my concealed carry license here soon.
You took your test?
Yeah.
Where at?
I got for $75. Some store here in Olathe.
Cool. So is it to Kansas or is it?
It was Kansas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because there's Utah also.
Yeah, but Kansas covers all the same state that Utah does.
No, it doesn't.
Well, according to my closet, it does.
Nah, they're wrong.
Okay.
A lot of people do the Utah one because it's more universal.
Utah carries 12 more states.
Oh, 12 more?
Yeah.
Well, the Kansas one carries all the states I would ever
go
to.
For the most part, it does. It's rather silly, but mine cost me nothing extra to get it at the time.
So we have probably horrified a large percentage of our listeners.
Yeah, we apologize. Yeah. I think the only thing I want to say about it any further is there are actual people that own guns that are responsible and are not crazy, angry white men.
Yes.
And I know a lot of them myself. So, yeah, it's not a big deal to me.
And I'm a crazy... angry white man, but it's just incidental that I haven't owned guns. I'm not an angry person.
You don't get to come to the target practice. Well, this ought to be fun.
All righty, let's move on to the news. Okay. I've got an interesting one. This will be hard to believe. According to Newsweek, scandal in the Vatican. I know I'll give everyone a chance to recover from the shock of that.
I can't believe it.
Well, anyway, there was this investigative undercover journalist went to hang out with all the places that the gay priest in Rome hang out. And apparently in Rome, according to Newsweek magazine and Panorama magazine, which is an Italian magazine.
Oh, I was going to say, that sounds, you know, like a special magazine over here or something. But no, never mind. Go ahead.
Well, according to these sources, it's really not uncommon for priests in Rome and the Vatican to be openly gay. And that it's really something that's been known about for a very long time, and no one's done anything about it. Until Panorama magazine published a shocking expose called Le Notte Brave Die Prete Gay, or Good Night Out for Gay Priests, which is one of the lamest. That really probably lost a lot in the translation, but that's what the name in English means, in which this guy posed as a gay priest and traveled about with many gay priests and videotaped their sexual escapades.
Ah, well, that's...
Okay, yeah.
And
so what do they do? Raise money for charity? Is that what they're doing, or what?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
All right.
That is exactly what this is all about. And gay sex among priests, which I'm not condemning, but what I think this article really does condemn is the absurd amount of hypocrisy involved in this whole situation. And I know when I was in the seminary, just a reminder, everyone, I was in the seminary for 8 years, actually, or as I call it, the effeminary. There was a very large gay population in the seminary. And
what, did you go to Catholic seminary?
Yes.
So did you see this type of thing? Or
I couldn't remember which denomination.
I can honestly say, and not because I'm a homophobe, but I never got invited to any of these things. But I know that they occurred because they got talked about. There were a couple of times where large groups of students were kicked out of the seminary for this type of behavior. And so anyway, this isn't surprising to me at all, having gone to the seminary and seen this. And again, like I said, it's not something that's even remotely upsetting to me that there are gay priests. I could care less.
It actually kind of makes sense to me because, I mean –
Prada loafers.
Not the whole going out and having sex part, but the whole what other profession can you have if you believe in God and you think being gay is wrong, where you can't be, where you're supposed to be celibate,
and where it won't seem weird that you're a 50-year-old
dude,
man,
single,
who likes to wear cloaks
and frilly things, and you know, I and play with incense. I mean, you know,
it's perfect cover.
It's perfect cover.
And this is supposed to be like.
In the Vatican.
Eye-opening? I mean, no one's known about this?
But it's the first time it's been publicly addressed.
Oh, okay.
According to the article, it's the worst-kept secret in Rome.
I mean, we've all
known. Oh, you mean the whole priest have, the whole pedophile priest isn't worse than the guys that are actually consenting going out and having sex with each other.
Yeah, I'm just thrilled these guys are all adults and having sex
with
each other.
That's what I'm saying. This is a step in the right direction. Awesome, exactly. Just be like, all right, cool. You guys are cool. We're cool.
No children
have at
involved.
It.
No children were harmed in the making of this particular video. And the funny thing is the Vatican, they have two contradictory responses to it. One thing, the first response is that this is just a piece by a magazine that's owned by Berlusconi. He's the prime minister in Italy, who I think owns every media source in the entire country. Because the Catholic Church says he hates the Catholic Church, so he's just trying to make us look bad. So this didn't really happen, or this isn't true. And their second response is, but we're putting together a committee to find these priests and kick them out of the church. So I just think that's funny that they're putting together a committee to put an end to a problem that doesn't exist, according to them.
Or it's a problem. It's like, gee, there again, don't you think you should address that whole pedophile problem that you have first?
Well, that's another thing. They don't – the pedophile thing, I can assure you, that went on – for centuries.
Oh, I have no doubt.
Centuries, and they all knew it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It sure. wasn't until it became a scandal, in quotes, that they said, well, you know, maybe we better address this.
And they still haven't really addressed it. I love that their release a couple weeks ago was basically it was almost worse to ordain a female a priest than it is for somebody to molest a child.
Yeah.
Or they put it on the same par with. And I was level. Like, seriously,
Well, I also know of priests who have been kicked out because they had consensual relationships with another woman.
right.
But another priest who they knew were having sex with children – I said, well, we're just going to move you to another church. And if you could curb that activity, that'd be great. But but it really
– I like curb. Curb. That's not – did you have less sex with boys?
Yeah, exactly.
Or mix it up a little bit. Yeah. You know, they just – yeah, they And that's what it really drives me crazy is, like, in this situation, now that it's out in public, now that people are talking about, oh, well, we're going to put an end to this. This is an outrage. It says, well, you bastard, you've known about this for centuries, I guarantee it.
Sure.
And that's what drives me. I mean, as a former Catholic, it just embarrasses me.
I think I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. I don't know how anybody can take the Catholic Church seriously anymore. I just don't – or how they can defend it. I can see maybe if you're Catholic saying, okay, the whole church, you know, clergy – the clergy of the church is screwed up, but I'm still going to be a Catholic, but, you know, not necessarily follow the what, you know, the big guys say. Because I'm sure that the, you know, the local people are good priests, good guys, whatever. But just to look at – I'd just be looking at my church going, man, this is fucked up.
I don't get it either. I still know a large number of very devout Catholics, and I don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
It is – I mean – I can see them still being Christians.
Right.
Going to another Christian church. How anyone can possibly remain a Catholic is such a complete and total mystery to me. And it really just goes to upbringing. It's what they were raised with. And they've been kind of brainwashed into believing that the Catholic Church is the only way to salvation. So they'll put up with it. After all. And another thing they do is when these scandals occur, they don't blame that on the church. They blame that on the individuals.
Right.
But
right.
when the church does something good, well, that's the church. That's the church doing that. All this other stuff, that's not the church. Well, actually, it is.
Yeah, it is. It's all
well,
the church.
It goes back to the same logic of, you know, you basically anything good, that's the, you know, that's God. Anything bad, that's the devil or that. But that's not God. God never allows bad things to happen.
Yeah.
You know, that's just, you know, part of our free will, you know.
And that's pretty much true of all religious people.
Sure.
It's always you know, it's always a win-win for God no matter what.
Mm-hmm. It drives me crazy. Yeah, but, you know, at the same time, I used to be one of them, so so that's why I don't really, even though, like I said, I still have a lot of friends who are Catholics, I don't really look down on them.
I don't. I'm not saying that I do. Like I said, there's a lot of, like, the local priests and stuff like that are probably, like, most of them are probably totally cool. They're good guys, you know. They're trying to do good things in their communities, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what they're holding on to. That's all I can think is that, you know, they're holding on to, well, I'm doing something good in my community with my belief system. And that's fine. I just don't see how those people who sit there and will actually still defend the Pope and defend, you know, what the church publishes and says, this is, you know, church law now. And that they can't just look at themselves and be like, what? You know, just look at each other and be like, what are they doing? What the hell? Or why they're not standing up and saying, no, pedophiles should be arrested, period.
Yeah.
You know, well, you kicked know, out of the
and,
church.
And even even when the scandal came up last time with the pedophiles, there was still a very strong argument that, no, we don't need to get the law involved. We'll handle this in the church.
Obviously, they're not doing a good enough job.
Yeah.
And my other thing is like, if this happened in a school, do you think anybody would put up with them not calling the law in a public school? Of course not.
Even if they fired the teacher, the fact that they didn't bring it to the legal authorities would outrage parents
in
the area.
Oh, yeah.
But can you imagine a school district transferring a known pedophile to another school?
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, no school in their right mind would do that.
Yeah, but the language around, you know, well, it just happened once, or, oh, it's not all priests or anything like that. I'm sorry. one time's too many.
No, I agree.
And that's it. Right. That's it. That's all there is. If there was a cover-up of one time, that's too many.
Or my thing is, too, is like you're also protecting the priest. Say if there is an accusation and it's not true, you move them. You need to have that investigated so they can be vindicated and they can say, no, this guy didn't do this.
It goes to the heart of what Cole wrote in his recent article, which is, why are religious figures given any more respect in a community than anybody else?
Right, they're just as fallible as anybody else.
They probably contribute less than the average citizen to society.
Well, when you were a devout Catholic, mm-hmm. I mean, this stuff probably wasn't as headline. But you probably knew it was going on, though.
It was in the headlines. I mean, right. These scandals with the pedophilia popped up a couple times. And I realized, okay, this was a failure on the part of the church, but they're going to get better. And then it came around again five years later.
I figure lots of people are thinking is, well, you know, we screwed up, but it'll be okay because we'll correct it.
We learned a lesson.
Yeah.
What they mean by we will correct it is that they will correct it.
They're counting on the church leaders who are more concerned with politics than they are with actually protecting people. Right.
Yeah. Right. And then, but also at the same time, the average Catholic doesn't know the history of pedophilia in the church and how it's just been a part of it. Like in Ireland, I mean, it was almost a rite of passage to be molested by your local priest, from what I understand.
I think a lot of law officials and police involved in that too, though?
Oh, yeah, they were covering it up.
I think they were covering it up because there were a lot of police officers who didn't want to arrest the priest because they thought they'd go to hell for arresting the priest.
Right, because I think the Pope or the the Catholic side, their argument with that was, well, hey, they're part of it too, you know, the secular part.
Well, sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, you're also talking about a culture, the Irish, where being Catholic and the Catholic Church is really important to their society. I mean, good Lord, they fought wars about it for years. So.
Yeah,
sure.
Right.
It's how they identify themselves in some areas.
Right. Exactly.
Is like in Ireland, you're either Catholic or you're Protestant, but you're not an Irish Catholic. The fact that you're Irish has nothing to do with it. You're either Catholic or you're Protestant.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot that goes into it, but ultimately, Jennifer, I'm with you. I just, with everything we know, and which isn't even all of it. How anyone remains a Catholic.
Or at least, like I said, supports the actual structure of the church. That's my thing. Anybody who actually puts their faith in the higher ups, the Pope and the, you know, all the people that run it, I feel like no.
Yeah. You know, my sister and I have been talking about some of our family and such, and some how they believe and why they believe, and the things they say to us are so ridiculous sometimes. And I think maybe perhaps some of this following is just denial that they don't want to be wrong. I don't want to be wrong about my faith. I don't want to be wrong about it.
You know,
I think it's hard for them.
Yeah, I actually saw a study not too long ago that was talking about that, about people's opinions and how even if you present somebody with good information that counters what they're going to grab a hold of that opinion and latch onto it even more. Even if you present them with information that says maybe you should change your opinion, maybe your opinion isn't correct. And, you know, that they'll just latch onto it and be like, no, I'm right. This is what, you know, this is correct. And
I can't remember there's a term for that.
I can't remember either.
My sister is, she's probably 4 or 5 years behind me in non-belief and such. And so she's having a hard time with her family, her sons and such, doing things. But this is a real problem with her. She just can't understand why they can't let loose of it. And that's the only thing I can come up with any of it, Protestants or whatever it is they don't want to think that they've been wrong all this time about what they believe in.
Well, a lot of times also you have all your friends, all your family who will just be crushed if you come out and say, well, I don't believe any of that anymore.
Absolutely.
Well, my sister and I have been pretty successful with it, actually. I mean, our family is pissed about it. There's no doubt about it. But we are talking. I mean, it's been, for the last 3 or 4 years, it's been some turmoil, especially when I was in the paper and different various things. But now that I have been, my sister's been passing it on to her side of the family, you know, in Illinois. now we're actually talking. We're actually communicating. I'm communicating with my nephews. We're actually discussing. Cool. And my daughter and I are actually laughing and chuckling about some of this stuff now. So sometimes I think it's best just to just get it out there, mm-hmm. and still be loving and still love your children and still love your family and your parents, and just say, this is the way I'm. And I've just been very strong about it, and so has my sister. And now we're discussing.
Yeah, my whole family knows, but... But I never talk about it at family functions. I don't want to, because I know how important religion is to them, and I just don't want to make Thanksgiving and Christmas and birthdays as a forum either. For religious debate, because right. then they would stop inviting me.
Right.
And my wife.
We don't do that.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, when it's time and right, we discuss it. But we don't. My sister and I, neither one, go to Christmas or Easter or anything else, and go, oh, by the way, you know. Your Jesus doesn't exist. So we wouldn't do anything like that, you know. So they know that we're being nice. They can tell that, and I think they appreciate it, that we're just not saying anything. We're just enjoying the moment. We're just enjoying family.
And I think that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
Agree. I think that's exactly what you're supposed
exactly
to do.
Exactly, that's yeah. what it is. And so I think, because now, after this period of time of, well, 5 years ago, I hated Christmas. Well, there's no way I loved Christmas. But like Howard said, it's fun. It's okay. I'll share. Everybody will share. I think everybody's catching on now.
Well, that's
you know, in my
yeah.
family, is that, okay, he doesn't hate everything. He likes it too.
So. Well, yeah, I think this comes back to, I watched an old episode of the Atheist Experience,
mm-hmm.
And they were talking about the subject of angry atheists, mm-hmm. how people think all atheists and all people who don't believe in God are somehow have some sort of latent issue in their background that is
that they're mad at caused, God,
that they're right. mad at God, yes. or they're mad at their parents, or they're mad at authority,
right.
or
right.
Yeah, whatever you want to say, and it boils down to like the whole thing of, you know, we were talking about it. You know, I am actually not an angry white man. I am not angry about guns. I am not angry about not having guns. I am not angry about having a God. I'm not angry about not having a God. I'm
talking to a Dr. Seuss.
I would be angry if I didn't have a microphone.
It always comes up because I think a lot of people think that God is love.
Sure.
And God is, you know, all these good things in their life. And for somebody to say, well, I don't believe in that, they automatically equate that to, well, you got some sort of chip on your shoulder.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I've actually had a couple of people ask me about my non-belief and if I had something tragic happen in my past that made me not believe in God. And I'm like, no, I didn't. Actually, it was a pretty gradual process that about mm-hmm. the age of 8, I decided Jesus probably wasn't real. And by the time I was 13, I was like, there might be a God, but the religions don't have it right. And by the time I was in college, I was like, meh. There's no God.
You know, I've heard a lot of people talk about how, well, I just can't imagine life if I didn't believe in God. And I think I used to believe that at one point. But I can honestly say that I'm probably more at peace. And I just don't miss that aspect of my former life at all. And recent weeks excluded, I've actually probably been far more active in atheistic or agnostic activities and I ever was in the church.
I went to a seminary, for God's sake. I totally am. I mean, I went to church, you know. Well, of course, I went to church as a kid, but I can't remember having any, like, real friends that I went to church with. I mean, they were friends I saw on Sundays. They were the Sunday friends, and that was it. I never saw them any other time.
Yeah.
And you know, now I'm like, you know, I was kind of thinking about it. It's like, I don't think I have any friends that believe anymore.
Oh, Fred.
I really don't. Well, friends. That's true, Fred.
Yeah.
But very few and far between. Yeah. And I'm constantly out doing something. So it's like, I don't, you know.
I actually have quite a few. Well,
yeah, I do
pretty
too.
Good acquaintances yeah. that are still believers, and we get along just fine.
You know, actually, a funny thing. Not too long ago, a devout Catholic friend of mine and coworker told me that one thing that drove him crazy about me is that even though I was the only atheist he knew, I was also the nicest person he knew. That drove him crazy. He couldn't stand that.
Oh, and I do want to say the lack of believing friends has nothing to do with me like actually trying not to be friends with anybody who believes.
Oh,
it's just I've just kind of looked around at my friends and noticed, wow, most of my friends that I have met through other friends and stuff like that, they're just all either agnostic or atheist. And
right.
it's like, all right, cool.
Right. Well, I actually, and I've had to go outside of it. I mean, through my articles and columns, stuff like that, I've gotten a lot of friends that are Christians. Sure. So I would say a lot of it came that way.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I'm not in the same room, everybody. That's why everybody's so confused as to whether I'm talking or not.
Just go.
I had a buddy of mine, a musician, that we were kind of both in bands, and that's where I met him. And he's actually pretty devout Christian. I mean, he does pretty much all religious-centered music and that sort of thing. And I remember a conversation that we had about 2.5 years ago where he called me up, and we were talking about something briefly. I can't even remember how it turned in this conversation, but basically, you know, I just said to him, you know, Jeremy, I'm agnostic, you know. I don't believe in the existence of God. I basically think it's probably not possible. And he goes, "Really? You?" And I was like, "Yeah." I pretty much thought like this for a very long time. I just really didn't tell anybody until recently. and he was like, "Well, you always seem to just have like the love of Christ in you."
Well, you do, Howard.
And I was like, "Well, yeah, that's just because I'm a nice guy. It doesn't have anything to do with, like, Christ in me or on me or around me, thank goodness." And, you know, and he kind of laughed, and he was like, "Well, you know, I just never really thought about that, you know." And I was like, "Well, this is, you know, what I think." But it was just the oddest conversation because it was like, kind of like you said, Marshall, it's like, "Well, wow, you're just kind of a nice guy." Like, how is that possible?
It doesn't make sense. How is that? Why aren't you trying to kill me?
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
you
have to fight morals. I have to fight that temptation to rape everybody's pets in the neighborhood. But I somehow make it through the day.
All righty. Well, let's move on to another area of sexual issues that they're dealing with in Islamic countries. In Iran, in order to reduce the amount of lustfulness going on in Iran, morality priests have taken to sawing off the breast of mannequins.
Oh, God.
You're kidding.
Well, fearful that Iranian men cannot resist the lustful pose of mannequins dressed in burqas, the morality police in Iran have taken to sawing off the breast of mannequins in hope of restoring order and morality.
I guess I should just be happy they're not sawing the breasts off the women.
I was going to say, I thought that you were going to say it first. I was like, whoa, wait a minute.
Oh, this is horrible.
Well, I mean, like you said, it could be worse.
Well, I know it could be worse, but I mean, it's like...
That's almost as bad as like, okay, the reason why you have the table skirt is because in Victorian times, they thought men would be turned on by the legs of tables.
Yes. I didn't know.
Yes.
Well, I can see that happening, actually.
Ooh, yeah, I kind of like table legs.
Some table porn.
Maybe.
Table porn.
There is a furniture porn website.
Is there really?
There is.
I take all that back.
Full frontal.
It's almost as good as the office casual porn website.
Oh, there's also kitty porn.
Well, let me get back to
that's
Iran.
That's K-I-T-T.
Yes,
K-I-T-T.
Yes,
everyone.
Sure.
Okay. Oh, God.
Cats. Actual cats.
I think I passed out there.
Yeah, no shit. T-T-I.
So anyway, back to the Iranian. The morality priest dealing with the police, dealing with the threat that breast-laden mannequins pose to society. They have tested a number of solutions as to how to make mannequins less sexy.
Couldn't they just get those like weird-looking mannequins that are just like a flat board that's shaped like a...
Too sexy.
Or just wires.
Too sexy.
Just a wire.
No, that's what they did, actually. Yeah. Here, I'll read directly from this article I got. A number of solutions were tested, including the removal of...
Wait, what was the test?
Does this make you horny? Yes. All right. Well, back to the drawing board. You know? Okay.
I'm so chubbing right now. I think we got
No. I did not want to hear that.
Just thinking about nude mannequins with no nipples.
No.
Well, their tests included the removal of arms, legs, and breastuses. And even the top half of heads.
Oh, my God.
This is just bizarre. This is true, though. One shopkeeper in the film, they made a film about this, creates a ghost mannequin made of twine upon which the clothing hangs. Even this received complaints. That's what I love.
I guess my solution, I mean, you know, just get rid of the mannequins. Just don't have mannequins. Just hang the damn things up in the window and say, look, we have tents.
You know what the whole burka, this whole thing reminds me of?
What?
There was a Wendy's commercial back in the 80s. Has anybody seen this? Where it was like, it was basically, you know, back in the Cold War. And it was like a Russian fashion show. I apologize, all Russian people that might be listening.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
It was like this big woman, and I guess he was named Helga, you know. And she'd walk out on the catwalk, and they'd go daywear, and she's wearing like
coveralls.
She's wearing a factory outfit, like really frumpy thing. Right. And then she'd go backstage, and they go evening wear, and she comes out with the same outfit with a flashlight. It's what I always think of when I think of like a burka. Like, what are fashion shows like? They come out day wear.
Well, like I think I said this in our first show. You know, marrying a woman wearing a burka is like playing the lottery.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't know until you get married. You don't know.
She could have a third eye or something. Yeah.
You know, and I think I said it back when you said it. You can always put the burka back on.
Like that old sack fit theory, huh?
Yeah. So anyway, all right. What we just talked about might explain this next story. A trial judge in New Jersey refused to issue a restraining order in a case of domestic violence and marital rape because the defendant, and by the way, I'm getting this from secularnews.com. It's written by Mike Daniels. He writes a lot of the stuff they have on there. It used to be PalinBanDaily.com. Great source for this kind of stuff. Anyway, the defendant, a Muslim, claimed that his religion gave him the right to sex on demand and complete control of his wife, which actually, according to the Quran and the various hadith, includes the right to beat your women whenever you feel you need to. So this judge thought, well, okay, yeah, he's right. The Quran says he can do that. So he refused to punish this guy or issue a restraining order.
Really?
They don't give this trial judge's name, which is, I can't imagine,
sure
I don't know
don't.
Why. I don't know if it's illegal. I don't know. They don't give his name.
What state was this?
New Jersey.
Wow.
But it got overturned by...
Good.
An appellate court overturned it.
What judge did that? That is...
They don't give his name. Well, this guy, he was a family court judge, and he ruled, this court does not feel that under the circumstances, this defendant had a criminal desire or an intent to sexually assault or to sexually contact the plaintiff when he did, even though it's precisely what he did. The court believes that he was operating under his belief that it is, as the husband, his desire to have sex when and whether he wanted to. And this was something that was consistent with his practices, and it was something that was not prohibited. It's kind of poorly worded.
So what if a religion says that as a man you can rape any woman you see? Is he going to uphold that?
I don't see how he couldn't, because this woman clearly was not consenting, given the fact that she tried to get a restraining order. So she didn't consent to any of this, and he basically says, it's his religion. You married him. I didn't.
Wow.
And actually, she didn't even have – it was as are a lot of Islamic marriages, and they don't give any names in this thing. That she was 17 when they got married, and they were from Morocco, and it was an arranged marriage. So she had no say in any of this.
Aww.
They moved to the United States because he had a job in New Jersey, and
good.
She tried to get out of the situation, and apparently the appellate court eventually allowed her. But this judge was thinking that his right to practice his religion as he wanted to completely nullified her right not to be raped or beaten.
It totally nullified her rights as a human being, basically.
Yeah, basically.
So she's trying to get out of the marriage is what she's trying to do?
It sounds like she's out of it.
Okay. Good. And I hope she is. I hope she's in the United States. And
well, yeah, I mean, is this in the United States at this time?
Yeah,
Jersey.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say that there's lots of places that she could go.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be lots
of
help.
Just go to the hood. They'll take care of her.
Yeah.
Jersey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
really awful.
I can't... I just don't even have the words. I don't know how that can happen in the United States.
Yeah,
I mean...
Well, this is something like this thing with the Catholics, you know, about protecting They're priests. I mean, that's their own law. I mean, they're trying to... That's the same thing.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything in any Catholic law, though, that says it's okay to molest little boys if you
feel
like
it. Doesn't say it's okay.
Yeah, well,
right.
And
they're not...
You know, so,
right.
I mean, that's a little bit different. I mean, this is actually saying that as a husband in the religion, you have the right to have sex whenever you want, and your wife has no say.
And well, right. She has the right to
I know
put
it's
up
different,
it.
But it's still, yeah. It's still being outside the law, the secular law.
Yeah, well,
not
as far as I'm concerned,
judge.
As far as I'm concerned, when you come to this country,
nothing is outside of secular law.
No,
exactly.
It shouldn't be, but it is.
And
it's things like this.
And you know, if you want to practice your religion and it harms somebody else, guess what? You're
go
still beholden
else.
To the secular
right.
laws.
That's well, what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying about all of it. The
yeah.
Catholic,
there are
the
some
Muslims,
exceptions, like some religious groups are allowed to smoke. Berries,
that doesn't harm anybody else, though.
No,
that
I agree.
Something that you
I agree.
Do for
yeah, but I don't think
yeah.
that crap should be necessarily illegal anyway.
I agree. If it's
that's
illegal for everybody else, then it should be illegal for them as well. But to me, that's at least not harming anybody else. If something part of your religion actually says you've got to go out and harm somebody else in order to practice your religion, nah, not wrong. You're not practicing your religion then, sorry.
So what states are these religions where you can do drugs?
It's like it's like Native American things. It's peyote.
Yeah, I don't think it's state. I mean,
does anyone
it's
have
not
any
state.
More information on
it's
this?
Not a state. You have to be like a certain. You have to prove you're
no,
a Native American.
No, it's a state. It's
that.
A state. You got to get yourself there.
Midnight.
First.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, it's a state. Yeah.
I don't know. Can you convert into that? I mean, I don't know what's preventing anyone.
I don't know. I have
well,
no
hey,
idea.
Cherokee. This is the fact with the Cherokee tribe. A drop of blood, you're Cherokee. A drop.
Well, I'm
if
Cherokee.
You can,
yeah.
If you can prove that you have a Cherokee ancestor, one out of 10 decades, whatever, two centuries, three centuries, then you are Cherokee.
And well. Therein lies the problem because there's so many records lost. Yes. You can't, yeah. You can't, because right. My parents tried to trace our lineage back right. Because right. they were hoping that we could get scholarships.
Sure. So as we discussed earlier, I'm 50% white, 50% angry.
Ah, I got you. Angry white man.
Anglo-Saxon.
With a big gun.
I'm actually the least angry person you ever met. But anyway.
A man's got to know his limitations.
All right. How are we on time? I don't know how long we've been rambling on.
Oh, about 45 minutes, a little over.
It's 8:20.
Okay. All right. This one, kind of have mixed feelings on this. This one I also got, I got this one off the Examiner. Written by a Bruce Maiman. It's about a Florida church with a pastor named Pastor Terry Jones of the Dove World Outreach Center, a church in Florida, that pledges to stand up for righteousness and is organizing an international Burn a Koran Day. For the upcoming
nice.
Anniversary of September 11th.
All I got to say is, if they have to organize a day to stand up for righteousness, what have they been doing all the other days?
Yes.
So,
going to start at ground zero.
So, they proclaim that Islam is the devil, and that they are doing this with the hope of bringing current Muslims to convert to Christianity. My first thought is that is probably not going to work.
I'm kind of thinking if you burn a Quran, most Muslims are probably not going to be sympathetic and be like, oh, yes, Jesus yeah. is the way.
But my second thought is that this, and some people might not agree with this, I do think if they own a Quran and they want to burn it, it's entirely their right.
Oh, no, totally.
You know?
It's a free it's freedom to demonstrate, freedom, you know.
You know, I'm really surprised that the intelligent design movement hasn't used this technique by burning copies of Origin of the Species in order to convert evolutionists.
Oh my
to
god,
that would convince
design.
Me.
The book
see,
burns.
It's perfect. You do it on a night when it's really cold, and you start burning. You know, you start a big bonfire with you know a bunch of books, and it gets a bunch of people to come over and find out what's going on and
exactly.
keep warm. And then you're like, yes, you must learn about this intelligent design.
Well, it reminds me. Actually, there was a church in North Carolina. Last winter, I think, that had a day where they burned all non-King James Version Bibles.
Oh.
Because they were written by Satan. Which is kind of a weird thing to think that
They were actually
Satan.
Just the King James.
Yeah. Well,
just,
King James. Anything but the King James.
Anything but the King James.
Right. Well, 80% of the King James isn't that the.
Well, the majority of Bibles are not King James version.
No, but I mean 80% of the King James Bible is Wycliffe or.
A lot of it was. Came from the Vulgate, whether they like to believe it or not, but I don't know.
I thought the large majority of it came from the Catholic, Marshall said, the Latin Vulgate, mm-hmm. Because it was the most plentiful version of the Bible that they had at that time and what most people were familiar with.
Okay, I'll look it up.
But what was it, 14-something-another when it was
done?
It wasn't
15,
too long after
the
Gutenberg, so...
Well, yeah, and it was in that they originally wrote it, and then they've revised it, corrected it several times after that.
Right. That's what cracks me up. I'm like, yeah, because it's not been edited at all.
No. I mean, there are known historical edits to it, and it's funny, though, because you will find people swearing that this is the Bible God wanted us to read. First of all, it's only in English.
Yeah.
If you want to read the true Bible, you have to know English. And second of all, it took him literally, I think it was like 5 or 6 edits till they finally got to the form that they're on now.
I mean, that's the only thing I could probably say that I would say that Islam has always been very careful about is the fact mm-hmm. that they basically say, you know, unless it's in the original language, it's not the real thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Kind of
bizarre.
Which I can't really disagree with. I mean... Because I know probably you, Marshall. I don't know about Cole and Jen, but I've read many different versions of the Bible mm-hmm. and studied them, and it is almost funny some of the differences that are out there and how disparate they are. It almost doesn't even make sense, and sometimes you read one verse and compare it to another, and
oh, yeah.
The meaning is so twisted and changed.
And, you know, a lot of Christians get in debates about the meaning of individual words, and then every Bible is worded differently, so it's really hard to do.
Well, I was going to say, isn't the Torah like that, like kind of like the Quran, too? The Torah is still fairly...
Depending on what kind of Judaism the person believes, but, I mean, they're supposed to memorize parts of it, or I can't remember... I apologize, all you experts out there, but they have to memorize large parts of it, you know, as their rite of passage.
Right.
Some portions.
Well, I was just thinking about the Torah saying that it's when it's passed down, though, that they're kind of like the Muslims, and that it has to. They don't allow edits. They don't allow.
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
I don't know about that. I think it's pretty modified.
Yeah, because the Greek version of the Torah, I cannot remember it. They translated it from Hebrew, and some of it was written in Aramaic, into Greek, and I cannot remember what they called that. But
The Pentateuch?
No. Anyway, I can't remember. But that was because at that time, the majority of Jews actually lived in Greece or various Greek control, and virtually nobody spoke Hebrew, so they had to translate it to Greek, and... it varies massively from the original Hebrew and Aramaic. In fact, that's a lot of times. A lot of times, we know that some of the quotes of Jesus, where Jesus is quoting the Bible, we know Jesus didn't actually say it because
that
in the Bible
didn't exist.
Well, the Greek version of the Bible he probably would have never read, but that's what he quoted, and so we know that they added that stuff.
Right.
Well, also that's if anybody's ever heard about the differences between the height of Goliath, that actually comes from the Greek and Hebrew translations and the differences between the two.
Well, and there are various accounts in the Bible of who killed Goliath as well.
Right.
Some say
his brother.
Well, and yeah, some one area it says David killed him. Another area says someone who was in David's army killed him. So anyway,
but you know, don't listen to us about this stuff. Bob Price has a great Bible Geek podcast. We're just amateurs.
And I think he's agreed to be on the show again. I have to actually order his most recent book and read it so we can talk.
You know what I think would really be interesting? Just
I actually just got done
this.
With A Reason Driven Life and highly recommended. It was really good.
Yep, it is. But this, you know, talking to Robert Price, because I don't think I have quite the fondness you guys have for him, but that's okay. That's cool. I like him. I think he's good. But there's a guy here locally that's very smart. He's very smart.
Turn off his microphone.
With the Bible. And so what I would like to do, what I think would be interesting to do, is to have him back on the show. And then have this friend of mine listen to this, and then we'll invite him on the show and get his opinions about what Robert's saying and what his opinions are of this. This guy knows the Bible inside and out. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, we'll think about this. You know,
he's
a member of our groups.
Is he?
And I just don't want to say his name right now because I haven't asked him to do this.
Did he graduate from Baylor?
No, he actually graduated from the IRS, I believe. I'm not sure.
The IRS?
Yeah. Mm.
The religious? Is he religious? Yes.
No. Yeah. Sort of.
Sort of.
Yeah. But anyway, you'll know more about him. He thinks just like us. You know. And so, but anyway, he's a very interesting person, and he has a lot. And I've seen him talk to rabbis and different various people and people that are just as intelligent about the Bible as Price is, and knows the Bible as well as Price does. And I've seen him in conversations with these people, and wow,
yeah,
they're always very impressed by this guy.
I'd love to have him.
I know some people that are just blown away by this guy sometimes.
Oh,
I mean, the stuff he can just pull out of there, and all of you know him, but
okay.
So anyway,
I guess
I have no idea what we're talking about. Yeah, you've all met him, but he comes more often than he used to now. But great guy,
cool.
great person. So anyway, I think that'd be kind of interesting to have a. Someone that's liked and knowledgeable.
I would actually love to have somebody who is actually an expert in the Quran.
That would be
really
cool.
Actually, this person knows quite a bit about the Quran too, and also the Torah. And this guy is very intelligent about all this.
I find religious bullshit endlessly fascinating.
Yes, I do too. I agree. But anyway, yeah, that'll be fun. We'll talk about this. So what's next?
The next, and this one. More, I've noticed that a lot of times when we talk about news and religion, it frequently is about children being abused.
That is
just such a common theme in religious news. It's just horrifying. And
this is
another such example. UK preachers abusing witch children.
Witchcraft?
Which ones are we talking about?
The witches.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, certain churches... And I got this from secularnews.com again, written by Michael Daniels. Certain churches in the UK are labeling children of congregants witches, which actually is not that uncommon. That happens a lot in Africa. I mean, a whole lot in Africa.
Right, yeah.
But you said UK.
Yeah, this is UK.
Okay.
Pastors then demand money or sexual favors in exchange for violent and sometimes fatal exorcisms.
Wait, violent exorcisms?
You got to beat that devil out.
Oh, I gotcha.
I guess, one way or another.
Those devils do not want to leave their comfy witch baby bodies, I guess.
They have to drive them out, huh?
Anyway, let me read more of this. Okay, there's a, I can't pronounce this person's name, clearly of African descent. Kautu and her boyfriend, Carl Manning, brutally abused the child that they had. At the time of her death, she was nearly bald and had 128 injuries, including cuts and burns from cigarettes. She died of malnutrition after being ordered to fast for 8 days to remove evil spirits. Their pastor, Alvaro Lima of London's Universal Church of the Kingdom of God. That is a long name for a church.
Yes.
Met Victoria a few days before her death. He claims that the child told him that Satan controlled her life, that Satan had turned her to burn her body. He believed that she was possessed, and he did not contact the police or Child Protective Services because... he believed what was happening to her was possession. And this stuff is actually, like I said, I don't know how, it doesn't indicate how common this is in the UK, but this happens constantly in Africa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think in Asia, I know it happens in certain portions of Asia, too. Friends of the family that brutally killed her child in order to depossess her indicated that Possession is something we learn from the Bible. I generally do not question the Bible. And as a result, really? They didn't contact anyone because this was normal. Hmm. I mean, this is not surprising. Sure, this child is covered in bruises and burns.
Can you be
That really surprises me in the UK because the UK is pretty...
Yeah.
There are a lot more non-religious people in the UK than there are here than there are in the United States.
Yeah, but they also have a lot of immigrant population.
I guess that's
Africa.
True. And if you stay in your own little cultural group, like a lot of them tend to do, then yeah, wow.
Can you be repossessed?
Only if you don't pay on time.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't give that sex, huh?
Okay, I'm reading more.
This is exciting.
Oh, yeah, I know. Okay. Well, and one last situation where a woman whose parents died when she was 18, the pastor at her church told her that she would have to sleep with him for 21 years to rid her family of the plague of witchcraft that caused the death of her parents.
And how did they come up with 21?
I don't know. Sounds
like a good number. I mean,
yeah. You know.
Yeah. Well, he didn't want to get too greedy.
You know, usually it's Jesus is magic, but my penis is magic. So,
well, I
don't understand. What is this? Who falls for this stuff?
Yeah, how anyone doesn't recognize that for what it is, just right off the bat.
I mean, I would almost say that if, you know, and pardon me for sounding a little calloused, but if a woman fell for this, I would almost have to say that maybe she was kind of into the guy to begin with. I don't know.
Nah, I think you
I'm
can
not saying
be,
in all
yeah.
cases. I'm no. not saying in all cases. In a case where like a guy was forcing her or something like that. But if some guy was just like, "Hey, guess what, honey? I got the power to, you know, get that demon out of you. All I got to do is."
The fact that she never said, "Okay, 21 times." How exactly would that cure me of this curse?
Right?
Can you explain that part
to
me?
That'd be.
All into it, but I really need to know how this is going to happen.
Yeah.
You know?
I suppose that's one of the more pleasant ways to get rid of a curse.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's definitely more pleasant than getting beaten or like drowned for a while or anything
or
like that.
Or starved or burned or.
So anyway,
it's a good line though. Let's use it.
Well, people are falling for it.
It always surprises me. I think years ago there was a gynecologist somewhere out east that basically impregnated a couple of women,
mm-hmm.
and apparently he told them that he was using a new heated tool in his examinations.
Ugh.
I don't know.
Sorry. I'm no. sorry. No, I would not.
But
no.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Is like I heard that story years ago, and I was like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know anybody that dumb. I can't speak to it.
But
unless they were maybe like sedated somehow,
and
so that way they weren't quite sure what was going on.
You know, I'm saying that is a possibility, but still, I mean.
But you know what? This does go to show that there are people out there who just really have not even ounce of skepticism in them. Not even ounce. Because, you know, if someone tells me this. You're going to have sex only 21 times. I'm at least thinking, that seems a lot.
I would probably look at them and be like...
Why 21 times? Yeah, what, yeah, 3 yeah. times a
I'd
week?
Probably,
7
I'd
weeks?
Probably look at them and be like, nice effort. Fuck yourself.
Yeah.
I would at least think about... Okay,
well, can I masturbate for 42 times over that?
Yeah, exactly. Well,
just absolutely... And I think those people, even though most people aren't falling for this particular line... I mean, obviously, religion really does prey, whether it's the truly evil forms of religion or the more benign religions. Yes.
P-R-E-Y.
Preys on just this absolute lack of skepticism and curiosity.
Well, I think it's probably a circular existence. I mean, you know, it preys upon those people. At the same time, those people themselves are convinced by their own gullibility.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's incredibly sad.
Now, who brought up the fact that maybe this woman might be a little bit susceptible of being turned on by this priest or something?
That was Howard's callous remark.
Well, okay. I said it sounds very callous.
But
I don't mean to belittle it because I mean, absolutely,
I didn't think you did.
I think she, you know, she could have been coerced in this. I'm not saying that. Well, I'm just saying that on the face of it, if I was given this story. In another term, if it wasn't a priest, let's say it's a used car salesman. Hey, honey, I'll give you this car if I have sex with you 21 times.
Right.
Come on.
Well, but, you know, the reason why I brought this up is because I have known some women in the past that this was a game for them, and they loved it. They loved to see if they could seduce a priest. I don't know how that ties with anything, but
it's probably like guys who and girls who only go for people who are engaged or married.
Right, or married.
They try to go because
it's something
they can't have. It's a challenge.
Right. I'm not saying anything about these women that did this that I knew, but I don't know. Maybe some of this could borrow a little bit about some of this self denial, or this. You know, have sex with me. Oh, well, you know, maybe.
Yeah,
I think
agree.
It has to do with power.
A lot of it. I think
well,
it's many
guy.
Things.
Yeah,
I'm not defending it. I'm not saying that most of it is. That's what Howard said. But in defense of what Howard said, I'm just saying that, yes, these type of things, women do things.
Well, and I think it's about power for the women, too, because let's face it, if you're a priest of a fairly large church, even though you might not be, like, you're still a authority figure. You're still... Mm-hmm. Someone people look up to. That's still a power thing.
Right.
So.
Right.
But I mean, like in the case of the Muslim
woman
that we talked
about. I just wanted to do it because I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
The case of the Muslim woman that we talked about earlier and how her husband, you know, basically is like beating her and doing stuff like that because he wanted sex and he should be allowed to beat her because the Quran tells him that he, you know, or the hadiths tell him that he should be able to do that. Not for a second do I think that woman's like, well, hey, this sounds all right to me. I think I'll just hang around, you know? I mean, that sounds awful. But in a case like this, I don't hear anybody saying, like, you know, he violently, you know, made, you know, a pass at her or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not even sure that it would be technically against the law, you know, offering to cure curses for 21 acts of intercourse. I mean,
well,
because it's consensual.
And the story didn't actually say that she... did it. It no, just said no, that he true. Offered. So, you know, she might have been
and
like...
And if she took it up on her, I mean, that's her
yeah,
choice.
Yeah, that's her choice.
I guess it's... And, you know, but she may have...
It is taking advantage of her, though.
Oh,
if,
absolutely.
If, if she totally believes
And maybe that could be categorized in the date rape.
I think it was recently in Japan, though, that, like, some guy basically claimed he had, like, magical semen. And that would cure women of certain ills. He had a lot of fun, and then everybody figured out that the only thing his magical semen did was make him pregnant.
It is magical.
And basically, I think he went to jail. Now I'm not.
But that just goes to show. I mean, I don't percentage wise, I don't know, but I just know there are so many people who are absolutely unskeptical about everything that they hear, whether it be politics or religion or
they think they're being skeptical because I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go have the magical semen rather than go to the doctor and actually have the doctor do something about my problem.
You know, the only thing I can say is women, be wary of dicks. That's all I got to say. Right?
Or beware of any promise of cure that requires vaginal intercourse.
Exactly. guys will say whatever
I know.
They can.
You got to think these pastors are like, oh my God, she bought that.
Yeah, exactly.
Holy
shit. Yeah, they're probably like, dude, I just totally had sex with that chick.
Yeah. Oh God.
And I can see other guys like, oh, I bet you can five times she'll have sex with you max. Oh, I can get higher than that.
Oh. 20, that's what it was. That was what
17.
I bet I can do it. 21.
I bet you I can do 21.
21. You're wrong. That's a bet. You will not have sex with her 21 times. She will not fall for that. You know.
All right. We're good, Ben.
Okay.
Oh, I wanted to say something about.
Oh no! Go!
Yeah. I wanted to say something about the Westboro Baptist Church and visiting the geeks out at San Diego Comic Con. It's pretty amusing. If you haven't seen the pictures yet, there are some pretty awesome counter protest signs.
I the only thing I could say is I'm not sure the Westboro Baptist Church could have picked a worse event protest in front of.
Well,
none of those people
on.
Will take you seriously.
Do they explain why God hates that particular?
Because it's a large event. Where people go have fun?
Oh. Yeah.
I don't know.
Possibly. But yeah, I think the my favorite sign though was there was a guy dressed up in a Star Trek uniform that held up a sign that said "God hates Jedis."
Yeah. Well, you know, I think finally, maybe perhaps before he dies, he's pretty old now. People are starting to see a different approach to this guy. You know, just have fun with it.
Is that
are we gonna blow up?
Is that a bomb?
What's going on?
Okay.
Oh.
Anyway. Yeah, I loved. If you haven't had a chance, I mean, Yahoo had a news post on it. Go out there, look at those pictures.
Yeah, they are hilarious. Jennifer's
oh, and there was actually a little video. Maybe I'll try to get that to Marshall when the show comes out because there was a little video, and they actually had a Buddy Christ there.
That's right. I remember seeing that.
Yeah, they were asking Buddy Christ what Fred's deal was. It was pretty funny. So
Fred Phelps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Funny guy.
That's pretty awesome.
So, all right. Well, everyone, thanks for listening to another episode of the Gnostic Salvation Hour.
Good night and have fun.
Good night.
Good night.
Or good day or whatever.
Whatever it is.